So this weekend, Her Majesty the Queen will celebrate her Platinum Jubilee, the first monarch to do so after 70 years of service. She became queen after the abdication of her uncle in February 1952, and she was only 25 years old. Now she's 96, and therefore this will potentially be her last Jubilee. Across the United Kingdom, many people will be both given the Thursday and the Friday off to celebrate, along with, of course, the celebrations that are going on this weekend. So it's more or less a four-day weekend for many people. Not us, we're recording this on Thursday morning, but there's that. So, if you can have a look at some of the things going on here, we can have a look at some images. Lots of people with Union flags dressed in nice fancy suits there. There are going to be lots of the royals cropping up. You get the idea.
Yeah, I mean, it has been nice though, because you finally get to see British flags just everywhere for once.
I know, it's refreshing.
I'm hoping we actually just keep them. Like, whoever's put them out, just leave them there. I mean, surely that's the right thing to do.
I walked through central Swindon yesterday, and it was so refreshing to actually see it, because normally it's certainly, it doesn't look British whatsoever,
no.
Other than the architectural styles, and that's it.
Otherwise, it's pride flags, racial pride flags. So, good refresh.
It is, yes. However, leftists don't like this revival of patriotism and nationalism and being proud to be British, obviously, and they've done a lot to undermine this. So the first thing that they've done is, of course, the rail unions have decided that they're going to have a tube strike in London, of course, where most of the celebrations are going on, and they've timed it so it's on the Jubilee weekend, so they're deliberately trying to interfere with the process. And this is going to be in many underground stations, two of which have suspended their services altogether. So it's going to become even more difficult to get around London than it already is, when there's probably going to be the largest number of people in London for a considerable amount of time. And
getting pissed up.
Yes. And this seems very deliberate to me. Like, they've clearly done this to undermine the Jubilee, and it's kind of in really poor taste. And I really don't understand why they think this is going to help their case, because everyone is just going to be like, well, we don't care what you want. You tried to ruin the Jubilee. But there we go. That's just one example. There have also been cases of this so-called charity, Republic, erecting lots of anti-monarchy billboards across Britain. So you can see this one here says, make Elizabeth the last, # abolish the monarchy. And I mean,
You couldn't be more stupid. I mean, just, I know you're Republicans, and you're clearly an outgroup for that, but you couldn't be more brain dead to try and do this on the Jubilee, which monarchist feelings couldn't run higher.
Yes, it's like the worst time for your own political message, isn't it?
Okay, good attempt. You failed badly, but at least you're trying, I suppose.
Apparently, they've spent about £43,000 through crowdfunding to print lots of these posters. Apparently they're appearing in Reading, Manchester, Bournemouth, Birmingham, Dundee, Leeds, Glasgow, Newcastle and Bristol. So they're all across the country. Funnily enough, not in London. That's strange, isn't it? And then you also have journalists, of course, complaining about this stuff. This is George Monbiot, who is known for being a Guardian columnist and an insufferable climate alarmist. I'm sure you're familiar. He says, I have nothing against the Queen. I think she's quite impressive keeping her cool amid so many maelstroms, but I despair of the fuss we make of her. The pomp and pageantry are the enemies of reason. They impede progress towards a fairer society. Sounding very Rousseauian there, isn't he? They are the enemies of reason.
Yes. Chad, yes, it's a monarchy. What did you think it was going to be?
And yes, talking of The Guardian, actually, there have been lots of Guardian articles circulating. Leftists are trying to revive them all. And, of course, one of the main outlets that have been targeting the monarchy is The Guardian in Britain. So articles such as this, Queen's private estate invested millions of pounds offshore. And another one, the Queen secretly lobbied Scottish ministers for climate law exemption. And the Queen asked for poverty grant to heat palace. So these three Guardian articles have been doing the rounds, where leftists have been trying to argue that she's some sort of oppressor because of some of these things that she has the legal right to do.
But doesn't use it ever, so how is the oppression happening? It's happening in your head. That's how it
usually
goes.
They're arguing that she gets some special privileges and that laws don't apply to her, but yeah.
You have monarch privilege. Yes.
She is the queen. It's not really the own that they think it is, because it's just like, well, you're the queen and you've got laws that don't apply to you. It's like, well, yes.
But also a privilege is an unearned advantage. And I think being queen is a pretty earned advantage, frankly.
For 70 years as well. I mean, I don't envy her.
Hundreds of years, frankly, in regards to just the monarchy existing. Like the mm-hmm. idea that you don't earn it is like, well, I've got the institution, you don't.
Yeah, I feel like the price of having these legal exemptions is that you've got to go and open like these random factories and rail lines and be really enthusiastic about it, even though you've been doing it for like 70 years. It's not my idea of fun, but there we go. So I do have a lot of respect for putting up with stuff like that. Of course, just your garden variety leftists have been complaining as well. So I think it was different years of the Queen's reign. I think it was a snapshot of 10 years per stone here were projected on Stonehenge. And loads of leftists jumped on this as some sort of excuse to whinge. So we've got here this TV comedy writer and producer saying, an ancient monument whose function is now completely unknown, projected onto Stonehenge. Again, the timing is not exactly good for people being receptive
to
your message.
No, I like it. Go for all for it. I mean, accelerationism. I mean, be more anti-monarchist at a time in which the entire country is monarchist. I mean, sure, it'll go lovely for you. I mean, I want to see republicanism dead, so I'm all for this, frankly. Just expose yourselves.
Mm-hmm. And then this next one here is pretty awful, to be honest. And this is the author of a book called The Decade in Tory. So, you know, his political allegiance. He says, yet when you suggest putting Stonehenge on the Queen, they get all uppity. So he's more or less implying, you know, squashing the Queen with a giant stone and people complain. I mean, coming up to the Jubilee weekend, again, very distasteful. No one's really going to listen to you. You're not convincing anyone. You're just making yourself look like a fool. So,
which is good. That's a good thing.
And here we have another female comedian saying, something ancient and now pointless that we keep under the guise of tourism projected onto Stonehenge. And, I mean, again, you think that if she's a comedian, she'd come up with a bit more of an original joke than one that had been banding around already. But there we go. Female comedians, low-hanging fruit. I could say a lot about that.
Literal drug stealer.
So if we move on to this next one, it says, it's Jubilee week. Let's have a thread of our favourite things the Queen has done. I'll start. She negotiated clauses in the Equality and Diversity Act so she wouldn't have to hire coloured or foreign workers in the palace. These clauses remain in place to this day.
I'm pretty sure that's just fake. Mm-hmm. Like, it's entirely fake news. So I've seen the conversation about this before, and the palace is just like, that's not true. Like, you're just
also
making stuff up.
Even if it was true, it kind of makes sense. Like, if you have your queen, one of the most important people in the country, you kind of want people who are British, who you know are more likely to be loyal to her than, say, I don't know, you get some Iranian housemaid.
Yeah, well, I'm
housemaid.
Speaking specifically to the mm-hmm. idea that someone has brown skin, therefore they can't work in the palace. Like, mm-hmm. hello. Like, we have a global empire, we're pretty used to brown people.
There are already notable people of colour, as it's called, that work in the palace.
I mean even
that
even,
is a known fact.
I think it's Henry the, I think it might have been the 8th, who had the one black guy in British history that everyone brings up to try and claim we've always been an island of diversity. You know, the trumpet player. You ever seen him?
I've heard about it, yeah.
So, but the foreign aspect, I mean, that's just prudent, obviously. Like, yes, you don't want foreigners around the most valuable thing in your kingdom constantly, because mm-hmm. they're foreign. They're aliens. They don't have the same allegiance.
Yeah, but it's also a national security issue, isn't it?
That's exactly the point.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, stupid. And then another horrific thing that a leftist has done. So this is a writer for Vice, Vogue, Vulture, Wired and The Guardian, seemingly threatening to shoot people, probably jokingly, I imagine. They probably don't own a gun, knowing leftists in Britain. Saying, me, if I spot any Jubilee bunting on my street and some woman holding a shotgun out of her bedroom window. So, yes, again, not reading the room, leftists. I don't think this is going to be well received. So, another one from the National Secretary of the People's Assembly, talking about, I feel there is a real grossness to the state-driven Jubilee celebration fanfare. People are skint, taking so much more skin and full of worry, and we are supposed to go out and celebrate 70 years of unadulterated, unaccountable wealth, privilege, power, and exploitation. Nah.
name the exploitation. It's just, there isn't any.
Like
the,
also, unaccountable as well. I mean, have you seen all of the articles about the royals recently? Andrew, maybe?
Sure, but there's also just, like, the monarchy isn't elected. Like, that's what she's hinting at, presumably. But then the monarchy hasn't brought any of these worrows on any of us. Like, that's just not the case. I mean, all of these things come from the elected government, the one that is accountable, and therefore, oh my God, it's so much better. That's not. It's just as bad many a time.
I find it weird, though, that, you know, at Christmas time, you have all these Christmas decorations up. Not many people complain unless they're a proper misery. Certainly not exclusively leftists.
The war on Christmas was a real thing. Bill O'Reilly wasn't just making that up. So.
But yes, you'd think that people would get caught up a bit more in the sort of party atmosphere. The novelty of having all these flags everywhere, people celebrating, having a good time for once. I think people definitely need it. It's not been an easy past couple of years, has it?
And well, it celebrates an institution that, you know, is politically opposite to what these people think.
Exactly,
so,
yes.
Therefore, it's bad. Mm-hmm. Enemies of reason again.
And one of the most egregious examples here, I think, is here from Dr. Jenny Woodley. Jubilee celebration is at the school today. Daughter made this poster to take in. Apparently, she's prepared a short speech, and she and her friends are going to perform a song featuring a line, "The monarchy is wrong and no denying. There are people on the streets and there are people crying."
What are you talking about? Like, everyone who's suffering in this country is because of the elected government, not because of the unelected monarchy.
It's so obvious here that she has projected this on her daughter.
Like, yeah.
I don't remember a single occasion where my parents were telling me, yes, you need to believe this political thing. I'm pretty sure I had no idea what my parents' politics were until I was able to vote legally. I mean, it just wasn't talked about. It allowed me to make up my own mind.
What would be the point? Like, you'd be some creepy weirdo if you're constantly bashing your kid over the head with "this is what you must believe."
Well, that's exactly why I've included this, because this is just weird, like, creepy indoctrination of your own children. Just like, yes, you need to champion my political messages and then use them to brainwash other children. And yeah, they've created this poster. And obviously it's not the child's fault. They don't know any better. But being a doctor, I imagine she should know full well the damage you can do to children early on. But there we go. It's just a little bit depressing, to be honest. So something that I did think was funny, though, is that a Labour representative told many of the members of the Labour Party to stop moaning and enjoy the Queen's Jubilee. Like, they had to be told to do it, which was quite funny. So the article says, in an interview with The Telegraph, Labour's Justice Czar, Steve Reed, said that those in his party should be more patriotic and those within his party should aim to spend the forthcoming weekend connecting with their community. I mean, yes. I mean, even if they don't agree with monarchy, at least enjoy the fact that you're coming together with your community and having a good time. Reid also argued that it was in Labour's nature to be pro-Britain. I don't know about that. linking the party's modern origin to those
smoking.
Who linking the party's modern origin to those who fought in the Second World War. And I'm quoting here: "We are Labour because we're patriotic."
No, you're not. You don't even fly your own flags at conference. You don't fly the British flags. You fly Palestinian flags.
Yes, that's true. And he goes on to say, "My grandparents fought in the Second World War. The great generation came back from war and elected a Labour government to change the country for the better. You cannot be more patriotic than being prepared to lay down your life for your country." That latter part, fair enough. The part about electing the Labour government, I don't think that was an act of patriotism necessarily. But there we go. Whatever he has to say to get to sleep at night. At least he's not a raving lunatic when it comes to patriotism and enjoying the Jubilee. So one thing that I did spot, neither left or right, was this picture here of loving this Jubilee tribute to Gaddafi.
Okay, that's pretty funny. I'll give him that.
Yeah, and I think he works for Unite, but I mean, a funny joke's a funny joke, right?
Yeah.
And it does look a bit weird. And I mean, fair enough that they tried to do something to
mark
the Jubilee.
Who doesn't miss Gaddafi? I'm sure he'd love to be here for the Jubilee. It's just, you know, he's up there protecting the big desert in the sky. Mm-hmm.
It's not the best likeness, is it? I don't remember the Queen having green hair with flowers in it either, but there we go. Maybe that's just me. So one thing you may not be aware of is the leftists might be controlling the weather. So the UK Jubilee's weekend, according to The Independent, there's hail, thunder and heavy showers, although there might also be 20-degree heat in places. So It could be a complete washout.
I mean, it was like, now, with the weather.
Yeah, I know we don't often do the weather, but, you know, it's one of the biggest weekends in British history, more or less. And it's important. Our weather is our national topic of conversation, isn't it? But yes, it could be a massive washout, which is unfortunate. So hopefully, if you're attending celebrations, it doesn't come to that. But yes, the leftist clouds hopefully will not spoil our wonderful celebration. And
clouds, leftist.
So the Independent, not one to miss out on undermining things, has got an article here, Platinum Jubilee, 10 controversial songs about the Queen. So it's just basically outlining these 10 songs to go on the leftist playlist. Of course, you've got things like the Sex Pistols with God Save the Queen, things of that nature. You know the sorts of music. I'm not going to even dignify it by reading out some of the songs there. But anyway, moving on. Britain's warned not to hold unauthorised Jubilee street parties as bunting could damage council vehicles. Which sounds like the most stupid excuse not to have street celebrations ever. You mean the council vehicles that our tax money pays for? I mean...
Well, so what? I don't know how they'd get damaged.
Yeah. Oh no, not the bunting. It's going to destroy our council vehicles. It's so stupid. So, according to this GB News article, Britons have been warned not to hold unauthorised street parties on the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. Millions of Brits are expected to take to the streets to celebrate the Jubilee event, which is true. I know in the lockdowns, we had a street party, even though, you know, Boris told us to stay in. We had a street party full with long tables in the street and everything for Veterans Day, and that was brilliant. It was the most socialising most of us did for months and months. And it was nice to actually bring the community together. And, of course, the Killjoy councils are trying to ruin it by nonsense rules, more or less. Apparently, the Telegraph reports only 16,000 official applications have gone through for parties, with some residents even being told not to put up bunting as it could damage council vehicles. West Berkshire residents were told no street party is allowed to attach any decorations to any street lighting. All organisers should be aware that bunting is not permitted across the carriageway or to be attached to street lights, as has been stated in our Jubilee pack on how to hold a street party from the start. It's a bit weird that our local councils are telling us how to hold a party.
But who cares?
Yeah.
Like, what are you, the local council? Well, she's the queen, so go to hell.
But yeah, it's just further proof that, you know, these local governments, they're not your friend really, are they? They're just bureaucrats that are trying to get in the way of you doing what you want to do. Something that is undoubtedly a leftist thing, though, is that vandals destroyed floral displays worth up to £10,000 outside designer shops in Chelsea that were created to mark the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. And if you scroll down here, John, you can see some of the pictures of what they've done. And for example, they've hung a mannequin outside by its arm with its trousers down. And this is obviously trying to undermine the celebration, probably anti-monarchists, radical leftists, most likely. Just trying to ruin things for everyone else, because...
I mean, it's just sad, really, isn't
it? It's not really sending a political message, is it? It's not really achieving anything, it's just...
Well, it's more embarrassing themselves, like, what are you doing? We're attacking flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're obviously a prick. I mean, just on any other basis, just why are you ruining this person's nice flower display? The hell's wrong with you?
I found a funny quote from a witness that said, members of the public destroyed it. They were like animals. They were just destroying everything. It was a riot. Well, just referring to them like animals.
Well, yeah. I mean, sorry, but they see a thing they don't like and they just lurch out and start bashing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is an animalistic behaviour.
I'm not disputing it, don't get me wrong. It's just funny to hear it. However, there is some good stuff as well, of course.
I'm liking these displays, though.
They are nice and patriotic. It's refreshing to see that people don't actually hate their country. I mean, it's easy to get lost in that, isn't it, covering the news day in, day out. But yes... In more positive news, the Queen was voted the world's most inspirational woman by a landslide poll of Sun readers. So nice to know that she's still well regarded in Britain, which is, of course, not really much of a surprise. Apparently a whopping 61% put her in the top spot. However, unfortunately, Michelle Obama was second at only 11%. I don't know why she was second. Why is she inspirational?
11%. I mean, look at the gap there.
I know, it is a massive gap. That's the only saving grace. I mean, Margaret Thatcher, maybe, rather than Michelle Obama. But yeah. There we go. I feel like lots of the people who would vote for Thatcher would have probably voted for the Queen. Should have been a multiple preference vote, but there we go. So also, as me and John behind the camera found out, that for the Platinum Jubilee, there's a pub chain that offers pints for 6p as part of the Queen's Jubilee celebrations. We actually got the pint for free, which was great. I mean, I'm more than happy to do my civic duty for the Queen.
But I love the idea that you were like, oh, 6p, oh, that's too much, mate. Can you do it for free?
They offered it for free. I didn't haggle them down. Well, I'm not sure I can afford it.
I got that kind of money.
But yes, the idea was that in 1952, it was 6p for a pint, and therefore to honour the year in which the Queen became the Queen, they have restored the price for one single pint for 6p, which, you know, is a nice thing. Get a cheap pint out of it for the Jubilee weekend. I'm sure many people will be having many pints. And yes, and perhaps most interesting of all is that Boris Johnson announced that pounds and ounces are to be revived for the Queen's Jubilee as the UK ditches the EU diktat. So yes, we'll be wrecking the Continentals with restoring our irrational system of weights and measures once again. Rather than, you know, the nice round tens and 100s, we're going to be doing things in denominations of 12, because that makes sense.
What does this actually mean? Because I remember covering this with John, and it was basically because we left the EU, we don't have to abide by that rule.
So it's
up to you if you want to use either. Mm-hmm. So what's changed?
There's a case, I think it was in 2001, that's listed down below in this article, of a guy who was selling bananas by the pound rather than to metric measurements, and he actually got taken to court for selling his bananas to this specific weight. So it was illegal. It's like, have you got a license to weigh out those bananas?
I mean, it's
just absurd, isn't it? So now we can finally be liberated and we can have our bananas in whichever denomination we wish. This is what true liberty looks like. And I, for one, think this is one of the best consequences of all. No, not really. But anyway, make sure to enjoy your Jubilee weekend and God save the Queen.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the Contemplation series, this one on why sex is binary. And if you want to follow what else Josh is putting out, you can follow him on Getter at @Josh_firm on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.
She became queen after her uncle, in February 1952, abdicated, and she was merely 25 years old. You've got me doubting myself now.
I just wanted to make sure.
No, I definitely looked it up. I'm not going to look it up again. Right.
She became queen after her father died. Her uncle abdicated, father became king, and then the king died and she became queen.
Fuck.
This is what you get for being a Republican.
Hey. I reined in my republicanism as much as I could.
I could tell.
Can I re-record the start?
F*** it, don't worry.